Katra Podcast Conversations, for the curious essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of Katra AI. Welcome, curious minds. We are diving deep today into a really powerful philosophy, one that promises not just satisfaction, but maybe even astonishingly a longer life.
We're looking at the book Ikigai, The Japanese Secret to a Long and Happy Life.
Exactly. And this deep dive, well, it tackles one of those huge human puzzles, doesn't it? How do we find real, lasting meaning when everything moves so fast?
Yeah, and let's pin down that central idea right away for you. Ikigai, it's a Japanese concept, and it translates, well, most simply maybe, as a reason for being.
A reason for being.
Or, you know, that specific thing that gets you out of bed in the morning. It's like your personal driving force, giving life direction. And it doesn't really matter how old you are or what's going on around you.
That's crucial, isn't it? Regardless of circumstance. And why this matters so much now. Well, the book is basically a practical guide. It's drawn directly from observing some of the longest living people on Earth.
Right. We're talking about the supercentenarians in Okinawa, Japan, you know, one of the world's famous blue zones, places where living past 100 is, well, not exactly common, but much less rare.
That's fascinating.
And what's really interesting is how this whole Ikigai philosophy kind of bumps up against our modern Western ideas, especially around careers and retirement.
Totally. The Okinawan way isn't about hitting 65 and just stopping everything.
No, it's the opposite. It's about staying engaged, purposefully, continuously.
Yeah.
So our mission today is really to unpack how they do that. What are the small daily things that make this deep philosophy of, well, a literal reality for them?
Okay, so let's talk about the authors who brought this to us. Hector Garcia Puigserver.
Yeah.
And Francesc Morel. Garcia, he's the one with the sort of boots on the ground insight.
Mm-hmm. He's a Spanish engineer, but he's lived in Tokyo for, what, over a decade now?
Right. And that engineering background seems key. He looks at the culture, the habits, the longevity, almost like a system. Mm-hmm. He brings this analytical clarity to it all, deep insider knowledge. He's the observer, maybe.
Yeah, I like that, the observer. And then you've got Morales, also Spanish, an author, journalist. His background is more in self-help spirituality.
So he's the translator,
yeah,
in a way, taking these complex, culturally specific ideas and making them accessible, universal.
Exactly. He's brilliant at connecting Ikigai to things we might already know, like Viktor Frankl's logotherapy. That search for meaning.
Ah, okay. So it's a really unique blend then. Garcia's deep cultural immersion and analysis, plus Morales' philosophical insight and clear writing.
And it's not just theory. They actually went there together, did immersive research right in Ogimi, Okinawa, the village of longevity. They spent time with the people they write about.
That makes a huge difference. So if we boil down the core message, it's that finding and crucially nurturing your Ikigai is the key to a long, happy life.
That's the heart of it. It's this whole integrated picture, purpose, passion, community, daily habits, all working together. It's not just about your job title.
Right. It's for anyone feeling a bit lost, maybe.
Uh-huh.
Whether you're 25 or 75, it suggests purpose isn't just for the young or tied only to your career.
Precisely.
Now, many of us have probably seen that Ikigai diagram, right?
Yeah, the Venn diagram. It's visually very neat.
It shows Ikigai at the intersection of four things.
Mm.
What you love, what you're good at, what the world needs, and what you can be paid for. Seems like a perfect little map for finding your path.
It is a powerful starting point, definitely a Western adaptation that helps clarify things. But, and this is important, the Okinawan reality kind of challenges that neat diagram a bit, especially that last circle, what you can be paid for.
How so?
Well, for many Westerners, that diagram reads like finding the perfect job, right? But the authors found many Okinawan elders derive their deep sense of Ikigai from things outside paid work, like crafts, gardening, leading community groups.
That's a really key distinction. So your purpose doesn't have to be your 9-to-5 job.
Exactly. For the Okinawans they studied, that paid for element often wasn't the main driver, or maybe wasn't there at all. The real magic intersection was purpose, meaning, and contribution.
Okay. That makes sense.
And that's why the book flows so well. It starts with the philosophy, what is Ikigai?
Mm.
But then quickly moves to the tangible, what does Ikigai look like in daily life? You know, the diet, the movement, the social connections. It grounds the big ideas in what they actually observed.
Which leads to this kind of core insight, doesn't it? That happiness isn't something you chase directly. The book suggests more like a side effect.
A byproduct, yeah. A byproduct of living intentionally with purpose and connection. You focus on finding your ikigai, and happiness sort of tags along.
Okay, let's get into that Okinawan blueprint then, the practical stuff.
Yeah.
As you said, it's not one single secret, but lots of small, consistent habits working together.
Right. Synergy.
And one of the most concrete examples they give is about diet. Harahachibu.
Yes. Harahachibu. It's basically moderation. Eating only until you feel about 80% full.
So not stuffing yourself.
Exactly. It's not about strict dieting or feeling deprived. It's just conscious restraint, not overloading your system. And this simple habit, practiced meal after meal, is strongly linked to longevity, caloric restriction, basically.
That idea of moderation seems to run through everything, which brings us back to that huge cultural difference, retirement.
Oh, yeah. The Western idea of just stopping all activity, it basically doesn't exist there in the same way.
Their philosophy is summed up beautifully, isn't it?
Yeah.
The happiness of always being busy.
It really makes you think, right? If you suddenly stopped doing everything that felt meaningful, what would replace it? These Okinawan elders, they keep contributing, maybe through a craft, fishing, helping neighbors, leading a group, well into their 90s and 100s.
They stay needed. They have a role.
Precisely. Which Correct. Ties into the deeper psychology. Merrill's connects Ikigai really nicely to Viktor Frankl's logotherapy.
Frankl, the psychiatrist who survived the Holocaust and wrote Man's Search for Meaning.
That's the one. His core idea was that our primary drive as humans isn't pleasure, but the search for meaning.
So Ikigai is like the daily practice of that search, finding that meaning.
Exactly. It's about having that why, that reason to live, that fuel to get through tough times. It's about actively building a life that feels meaningful each day.
And this is where it gets really practical for maybe our modern lives and work, the concept of flow state.
Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi's work, flow, that state where you're just completely absorbed in what you're doing. You lose track of time.
Yeah, you're just in it. The authors argue that hitting that flow state is actually the best way to experience your ikigai.
Makes sense. When you're in flow, you're not worrying about the past or future, right? You're just fully present, engaged in something purposeful.
So how do you get there?
The strategies are pretty straightforward, but they take discipline. Things like eliminating distractions, turning off notifications, and making sure the task is challenging enough to keep you engaged, but not so hard it becomes overwhelming.
That sweet spot.
Right. When the challenge level matches your skill level, boom, flow. And the book really positions this as a key source of happiness.
Beyond the individual mind, though, there's a community aspect.
Yeah.
That seems absolutely central in Okinawa. They talk about the moai.
Yes, the moai. This is fascinating. It's essentially a committed, lifelong social circle.
Like a group of friends you stick with forever.
Pretty much. But it's more structured. It provides real support, emotional, sometimes even financial or practical help. It's like a built-in safety net.
Wow. That's a powerful antidote to the kind of social isolation we see increasing today.
Absolutely. The book argues these strong social bonds are just as vital for health as diet or exercise, maybe even more so.
And speaking of exercise, their approach is different too, isn't it? No pounding the pavement or heavy lifting necessarily?
Not typically, no. They focus more on gentle movements, things like gardening, walking, maybe some traditional folk dancing. It's about staying active, flexible, balanced, but without excessive strain.
Functional fitness for life.
Exactly. And they often do this group warm-up in the morning, Radio Taiso. It's like a national institution in Japan. Gentle, coordinated movement.
Keeps them independent, keeps them contributing.
Yeah.
Like the case studies in the book, the 102-year-old karate master still teaching.
Right. His movement is his contribution, his ikigai. Incredible.
So life obviously still throws curveballs, even in Okinawa.
Yeah.
How do they deal with setbacks? The book talks about resilience, but also anti-fragility.
Yeah, this is a really interesting distinction. Resilience is bouncing back, getting back to where you were before the hit.
Okay.
Antifragility, a term popularized by Nassim Taleb, means you actually get stronger because of the stress or setback. You don't just survive the storm, you use the debris to build something better. Mm-hmm. The Okinawan elders seem to embody this learning, adapting, growing from adversity.
That's a powerful mindset. And they also draw on these, well, quite beautiful philosophies for mindful living, like wabi-sabi.
Wabi-sabi, yes. Finding beauty in things that are imperfect, impermanent, maybe a little weathered, it helps foster acceptance, especially around aging and the natural cycles of life.
Instead of fighting it, appreciate it.
Kind of, yeah. And the other one is Ichigo Ichi.
Ichigo Ichi. Treasure every encounter.
Basically, yeah. Cherishing the unique, unrepeatable nature of each moment It's a call for radical presence. This exact moment, right now, will never happen again. Appreciate it fully.
So, pulling these threads together, let's distill the big themes. First one seems clear. Purpose is the engine of longevity.
Absolutely. There's that quote from one of the elders. Only staying active will make you want to live 100 years. It suggests the desire for a long life isn't just wishful thinking. It's tied directly to having reasons to stay active, engaged, contributing.
Your purpose pulls you forward.
Yeah.
Okay, second theme. Holistic well-being and synergy.
Right. It's not one magic pill. Longevity comes from the combination of all these small, consistent habits. The diet, the gentle movement, the social ties, the mindset.
And that dietary principle, Harahachibu, really captures this, doesn't it?
It does. It's simple, actionable, and powerful because it's done consistently. Small daily choices add up far more than occasional big efforts.
Makes sense.
Yeah.
Third theme, the indispensable role of community, the Moai.
Yeah, this is huge. It hammers home that strong social connections aren't just nice to haves. They are fundamental to health, possibly as crucial as anything else. We need to actively nurture our friendships, our support networks.
It's presented almost like preventative medicine.
It really is. Which leads to the final theme, integration rather than segmentation.
Meaning?
Meaning the goal isn't the typical Western work-life balance where you try to keep work separate from life. It's more like life integration.
Ah, so finding ways for purpose and meaning to flow through all parts of your life, not just your job.
Exactly. Finding meaning even in the everyday mundane things, not just segmenting off purpose for work hours or specific hobbies.
And that mindfulness piece ties in here too with Ichigo Ichii.
Definitely. That constant reminder to be present, to appreciate the uniqueness of this moment. It's like the ultimate technique to combat anxiety about the past or future. Just be here now.
Okay, so this is all inspiring, but how do we actually apply it? The book isn't just theory, right? It's meant to prompt self-reflection.
For sure. For health and wellness, maybe the easiest start is that 80% rule. Just try being more mindful at meals. And maybe swap one intense workout for a long walk, some stretching, or time in the garden. Focus on sustainable, gentle movement.
Good starting point.
Uh-huh.
And professionally. Maybe focus on finding those flow states.
Yeah. Actively try to carve out distraction-free time. Tackle tasks that engage you, that stretch you just a little bit. See if you can lose yourself in the work sometime.
And socially.
Yeah.
The big one. Be intentional about your connections.
Absolutely. Nurture those key relationships. Maybe even think about creating your own modern Moai, a small group you're really committed to supporting and who support you. Make time for them.
And the mindset shift about the future. Retirement. That seems like a huge application.
It really is. Instead of retiring from work, think about retiring to something else. A passion, a craft, mentoring, volunteering, something that keeps that sense of purpose alive, even if the paycheck stops. Contribution doesn't have an age limit.
So, wrapping up, what was the most valuable takeaway for you from this deep dive?
For me, it's that Ikigai is deeply personal. It's not a formula you just plug in. It's a journey, something you have to keep tending to, adapting throughout your life. And crucially, it's practical. It's not just philosophy. It's grounded in how real people, the longest living people, actually live. It's almost a necessity for health and happiness.
Yeah, I agree. What surprised me most, I think, was how strongly it challenges that whole Western concept of retirement as the ultimate goal. You know, we work so hard to reach this finish line where we can finally stop. But this book suggests that stopping meaningful activity might actually be detrimental, that continuous learning, contribution, having a reason to engage, that's the real secret sauce for a long and happy life. If your entire identity is tied up in your job, what happens when the job ends? It really makes you think about finding purpose beyond just your career title.
It certainly does. A powerful reminder.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Acacia Foundation.